All right, we're about to get started. The next session is by Dennis. He's from the Naturalis Museum in Leiden. Is Leiden?
Yeah,
in Leiden, and he will talk to us about the infrastructure they've built there. So enjoy.
Yes. Hello, everyone. This talk is about something entirely different, about dinosaurs. And let's start with an introduction. Behind me you see Trix, which is an actual T-Rex that lived about 66 million years ago. And she's now one of the main attractions in our Natural History Museum in Leiden. Also introducing myself a bit. I'm living and working in Leiden as well. I put it like I identify as a Homo sapiens, a meager 38 years of age. And I moved to Leiden to study political science, and I ended up as a member of the IT crowd at Naturalis. A couple of them are sitting over there as well. In my free time, I work as a volunteer in a social center called Vrijplaats Leiden. So if you happen to be in Leiden, please come and visit us, or contact me if you want to organize an open source event, a hackathon or something. And talking about open source, I'm an open source enthusiast ever since installing Debian for the first time in 2004 already. And I've been coming to FOSDEM ever since 2012, so this is my 9th edition with my first talk here, so that's quite nice. And it's always been really inspiring, overwhelming sometimes, and for sure exhausting experience, 2 days of talks and information. And as a result, the last couple of years, we've applied all kinds of tools and practices at Naturalis, inspired by talks at FOSDEM. And I think that's also a big part of the job as IT operator, is to actually try and to determine the right approach, the right tools, and how to use them best for your job. And there's really a lot, like because of the 800 talks or something here at FOSDEM. So in this talk, I want to present a kind of a real-world use case. I skim through the program, and a lot of developers are talking about what they made for me, for example, as an operator. But this is the other perspective, and I hope it's useful. And I like to give you a glimpse of the way we dealt with the challenge of applying all those wonderful, powerful open source tools to a domain that has been, up until recently, really fixated on proprietary solutions. And the goal of this talk is not to try and paint as if we have the ideal universal solution or something. It's just, I hope it's interesting for you guys and girls to see how we managed with the problems of building a museum. And we're actually quite proud, of course, of what we achieved with our implementation, but it's really far from perfect. And I want to basically, after explaining a bit about the use case, tell a bit more about the circumstances we had to work in, the approach we took, the things we achieved, the end result, at the end I'll have some closing comments. So what was actually the use case? We were asked to deploy and manage an entirely new natural history museum, consisting of 10 exhibitions and experiences with all kinds of technologies like media players, projectors, microcontrollers, interactives, all that kind of stuff. A campus network because it was a new building, and all the management tools around that. And to get a bit of an idea about the circumstances, a bit about our institute, Naturalis Biodiversity Center, first and foremost, we're the manager of the National Natural History Collection. We have 40 million specimens stored in a big tower and also a new part of the building with lots of old artifacts, small insects, so, elephants, anything you can think of. Apart from that, we are a research institute as well. So like we have at least 100 researchers doing all kinds of research related to biodiversity. And we're a natural history museum, which is really popular with families and kids. But that poses a really fundamental challenge for us as a support organization, because basically the biodiversity in our institute is kind of the central theme. And basically anything people can think of what they can do related to biodiversity, they do. So, and we have to support that. So building a museum, having a cloud for researchers doing their analysis, all that kind of stuff. So that is difficult to do everything really well. Starting the project, at the start of the project, we already had quite a bit of technical expertise in-house. So we have an IT department of 30, 35 people with operators, developers, support. And in the operators were relatively well-versed in config management already. We used Puppet and Foreman specifically for deploying web services. We have infrastructure based on OpenStack and Ceph. We've done some experiments, so to say, on Kubernetes. We also canceled these. And for example, we've done an analytics based on Senzu, the Elk Stack, Grafana. So that's also not normal for a regular museum, doesn't have this IT staff in the Netherlands at least. as I mentioned, we built a new museum, and what you can see here is the museum actually being constructed. The part on the left, that's the new part, and that's also the museum part. It's completely new. And when actually running the project, this wasn't ready, so we had to start building stuff when we couldn't actually access the building, or when we it wasn't even completely finished when we started building stuff in the building. And apart from that, we had to work together, or we worked together, with an internal museum department, which was really used to working with suppliers that were fixated on proprietary solutions, media players, all kinds of show controllers. And in general, the museum building industry, if you can call it that, is, well, on a positive note, it's just starting to be influenced by best practices from IT and DevOps. I put there cattle versus pets. It's like a big question mark for them. They didn't even consider it. It's like everything in a museum is considered like this special thing. And they basically are used to just making that thing, and then, here you have it, and you maintain it or something. So, also in a museum, you have to deal with a broad set of technologies. As I mentioned, audio and video players, Unity games in this instance, show controllers, KNX, gateways, microcontroller, all kinds of stuff. And of course, with a tight schedule, also known as no proper time for testing. We used to have a testing phase, but it got squashed And basically, we didn't have any testing phase. So in similar situations, in other museums, basically, a museum would hire an external company or several companies who would then build and deliver a infrastructure. If you're lucky, according to, you could set requirements as an internal support organization. And then if you're actually really lucky, they would deliver something that integrates with the other things you do. So in an effort to keep the diversity of technologies that we have to manage, to keep that down and limited, our approach was to actually build on the existing infrastructure and know-how within the organization and to get involved really early in the process. We had a bit of a struggle to get that message across internally. So there was quite a bit of politics involved.